folks, it's been 2 months. Droomies, it's been 2 months. You're turning the side of your milk carton around looking for our pictures. You haven't seen us. Everyone's been dropping messages in our inbox, checking how are you, trying to see if they got a COVID notification, checking their obituaries. Where are the Droomies? That has been the question. Where are the Druids? That has been the follow-up question. And here we are to answer it for you 2 months later with what we are billing as our phenomenal extravaganza of a season one finale, the Milwaukee Metal Fest finale. Franny, how the hell are you?
I'm doing real good, baby. I'm doing real, real good. It's glad to be back, to be honest with you. It's been a little bit of a longer hiatus than we were expecting, but we back, baby. We back.
Well, Franny, if Jim Cornette has taught me anything, and there's always going to be wrestling references, everyone knows that at this point, but if he's taught me anything, it's that if you don't go away, how can I miss you? So we had to go away so you can fucking miss us, but we're back, and just like the return of the living dead, we're here a little bit haggard, maybe with a little bit of fresh wound still healing from the Milwaukee Metal Fest, but we bring all sorts of fucking piping hot coverage on what has arguably been one of the best weekends of my life. But Franny, before we launch in to the Milwaukee Metal Fest, let's just, you know, peel back a veil of curtain, show some vulnerability and say, you know, folks, we're fucking humans and we're grinding hard on this product and we believe in this product and we know you believe in us. But we had a moment where we thought we went viral, and I'm talking about Black Metal Brain Eaters.
Oh, yeah.
And we're getting, I don't know, Franny, what would you say, like 400 streams a day for like a week or so?
Yeah, it was pretty astronomical. Like, I would just sit, I was on vacation somewhere, and then I was checking just, you know, our analytics, checking the stats. And then, boom, shit's exploded on the Black Metal Brain Eaters episode, and it was like 300 plays in a day. And folks, just, you know, just to be completely honest with you, we get maybe like 20 streams a day or so, something like that. We're still young, we're still fledgling, you know, we're still growing up in the podcast world. But to see an astronomic growth like that, yeah, we thought, like, shit hit the big time, and we were like, oh my god, finally catching on. And it was like 400 streams a day for like 4 days, and then just dropped off like a rock, and we were like, what the hell is going on here?
Long story short, we got a bonanza of streams, and we think it was a bot farm, and that just sucked the wind out of our sails a little bit. We believe in this fucking product, and we're trying to grow it all the time, but just like the metal bands we love, we're in this for passion, and you know, for a brief moment there, I was buying mink coats. I was driving around in a Rolls Royce, and I'm buying that shit on layaway on fucking credit I didn't have. And so when I realized a bot farm was behind this traffic, you know, it caused us to pause and think about, how do we want to format the show to ensure sustainability? We both have jobs. We both have, you know, our own families. Some of us have geriatric fat dogs to take care of. And you know, we want to make sure we can do this for the long haul. So I think we're reformatting the show in seasons, seasons being about 8 to 10 episodes, and then taking a little break. So right now we're going to come at you with this fucking gnarly ass finale, and then go enjoy our goddamn summer. Because as you all know, in Minnesota, we have very short time for that. Yeah, Franny, we just have to recharge our batteries and get ready for season two.
Absolutely, baby. Absolutely. And let me tell y'all, folks, season two is gonna be a fucking ripper. I mean, think about all the stuff we've talked about and learned in season one. Amplify that by like at least 3.75, and this shit's gonna be crazy.
We were like baseball in 1984, but coming back for season two, we're going to be 1997. Mark McGwire, Sammy Sosa, juiced up, looking all the part of a fucking Billy Graham. And I'm talking superstar Billy Graham, the wrestler, rest in peace,
hell
just
yeah,
passed away, but juiced fucking up. And Franny, just before we launch into Milwaukee Metal Fest, I want to tease some of the content we've already plotted out so you boys know what you're going to be listening to next year. But we've got slated for you a special on the rise of Florida death metal that we're calling It Came From the Swamps. We're going to also explore sex and heavy metal, little high heels and fishnet stockings, talking about heavy metal sex magic, for all you degenerates that so thoroughly populate our streams. Of course, we're going to have a Samhain special. We're going to take a backseat view from the tour bus Life on the Road episode. And we got such good feedback around heavy metal and Home Alone being metal as fuck, we've got to do another fucking Yuletide special. So
yeah, we did get a lot of good feedback on that one. And I don't know if I want to say what we're doing for this one, but I'm fucking jacked to the bones for that one for sure.
Yuletide special, just in time. A little genre deathmatch conclusion. We've got Dungeons and Virgins, fantasy and heavy metal lined up. And a breakdown of maybe grindcore that I like to call So I Married an Axe Murderer. Now, for the love of Dio, hold us to this. This is our forecasted content. Some of these I know are going to be a go. Other shit may adjust as time goes on, but stick around. We're going to slate ourselves for, I would say, a mid to late August return. And in the meantime, we're going to enjoy fun in the sun. So with that being said, Franny, Milwaukee Metal Fest, Jesus fucking Christ.
Wow. Man, it is hard to put into words the experiences that we had over that weekend. And much like you said, probably one of the best weekends of my life. I echo that sentiment. Like, that was truly incredible. Besides, like, me getting married, as corny as that sounds, that was legitimately one of the best weekends of my life. It was just unreal. So many amazing memories, so many amazing bands, and it all got crammed into one weekend, and it's hard to believe that, you know what I mean? It's it's truly insane.
It was madness. It was hectic. It was invigorating and exciting. And yeah, man, just an absolute blast. And a shout out to the missus. If she ever streams this, you definitely answer that the correct way. Put the wedding slightly ahead of Milwaukee. So I have a fear for this man. You think we've been missing for 2 months. Let her hear something else on that comment. It might be a long sabbatical. It
might be a solo show after that.
Fuck. Well, if you'll recall, Droomies, before setting off to Milwaukee, we did our metal road trip survival guide. And right out of the fucking gates, just to let you know how full of shit I am, how full of shit Franny is, I'm going to let you know, we completely forgot every single piece of truth we dropped in that episode. We forgot that you don't eat gas station food. And I'll go even further. When I tell you we were eating gas station food, I'm talking 4-hour-old dried-out chicken nuggets. I'm talking wasabi peanuts that are 2 years past due. I'm talking an Olestra-dripping grease bomb of a burrito. We got all the gross food. But, Franny, I'm, like, embarrassed to say Quick Trip is kind of nice.
I have gone on record in the past, and I will go on record again. If you have to get gas station food, if you have to, make sure it's a fucking Quick Trip, because that is like the gourmet level of gas station foods. As far as gas station foods go, Quick Trip is the best. I just put that out there. Putting it out there on Front Street.
Well, the thing about the gas station food too is we know that it's going to get your system moving because it's 98% grease.
Oh, yeah.
But Franny, I don't want to, I do want to put your shit on blast here. Because you broke one of the cardinal rules of going to even a fucking show, let alone festival. You did not take a shit beforehand.
Oh my God. Yeah. I was so worried about that too. I was genuinely worried about that. Like, you picked me up in the morning. I tried to fire one off before you
picked me up in the morning.
And I just couldn't Mario. I couldn't make it happen. I couldn't make it happen. And then we get to the Airbnb and I'm just like, okay, I am for sure going to have to go. Nope, didn't have to do it. And then I got real scared because I was like, great, now I'm going to have to go to take a power dump at the venue. And it didn't happen. I couldn't believe it. I went the whole day, no problems at all. I was scared as hell the whole time, walking on pins and needles and eggshells, terrified.
Franny had to take a shit. Despite the gas station food, maybe it didn't have. Let's take a fucking listen.
First 90 minutes of this trip, and it's just been revealed that Franny has not taken a shit before the show. He's currently bulging at the sides like an about to burst bratwurst, and he's sweating. It remains to be seen whether or not he'll shit inside the club, but we're following this plot closely as the day unfolds and the weekend unfurls here at the DOD. Literally 5 minutes later, Franny has now pulled over to a rest stop someplace between Sheboygan and Eau Claire. He's looking sweaty. He's looking around, seeing who might be watching him. He's going to take a shit in a truck stop, rest stop, and I'm here for it.
is either you can stay and pay yourself.
Fecalgate 2023 getting a live update. Did that 5-year-old prevent you from shitting?
It was so bad. I was so scared.
Holy fuck, dude.
Oh, fuck, oh, man. This
shit.
A little $40 recorder we brought to the fucking festival gave us golden moments. So this is a little bit kind of a different episode. We're going to try to splice an audio. So we want to bring you along with us. So you're going to get these sort of updates the whole show. We're going to see how this goes. Franny's just busting up over there remembering what a disaster that first trip out there was.
Oh, God. Oh, God. It really was.
Well, one thing I thought was kind of cool with the drive out there is, you know, Mite House, who was the biggest motherfucker you could ever meet. We're calling him Mite House because he's 6 foot, I don't know, seven, about 382 of sheer muscle. And, you know, tall as a lighthouse, but thicker, like peanut butter in the fridge. So we're calling him Mite House. But Mite House, he brings an iPod with him, and this iPod is loaded with music all from like 10 years ago, and it was like a really cool way to feel nostalgic, and we had some just fantastic music on the way out there. But shout out to Mite House, and just the concept of rolling with a time capsule iPod, I thought that was a lot of fun.
Oh yeah, that was wild, man. That was really crazy. And not only that, but I got to hear a bunch of bands that I never heard before in my life, like shout out to like Devil's Blood. I heard that for the first time, and it was incredible. It was just incredible. And then God Dethroned, like, Jesus H, that blew me away. But yeah, that, all in all, that was pretty cool to take a step back in time into Mite House's life and see what he was listening to back then.
Well, then as long has been reported, at this point, if you're riding with us on our season one finale, you know that the Rave Eagles Club in Milwaukee was where this festival was going down. And the show itself was really interesting because, Franny, they've got like three different stages of different sizes. You've got a main stage. It's like a big ass ballroom. You've got a more intimate pub sized floor. And then you've got kind of a larger venue that's not quite the size of the ballroom, but is just right for a national touring act. So we had a good variety of venues inside the venue. That was wild. We're running around like pinballs, bouncing back and forth all 3 days. What did you think about that?
Oh man, it was, I enjoyed the setup, but yeah, like you said, running around like chickens with our heads cut off, just trying to, you know, catch a little bit of this band, but then we got to leave a little bit early to go see this band. And then we got to go up like four flights of stairs to get to the ballroom to catch this band. And then we got to go all the way back down the said stairs just to see, you know, this another smaller band in the smallest venue they had. It was a lot of running around. And by the end of the days, like I was shot just from the running around alone, let alone like all the music that was going on. But it was an interesting layout for sure.
You know, I kind of held up better than I expected running between these venues. And part of that I attribute to a clutch decision that both me and Mite House made. And that was to wear thick ass high top, old lady white Reebok high tops straight out of 1988. And that shit was dispersing my weight across my spine in a proper fucking way. So I wasn't like, I was so expected to be like hanging off the side of a rail by the end of the first night, because I have flat ass feet like a Flintstones character. But Franny, the fucking high top Reeboks worked.
Yeah, I just wish I would have went shoe shopping beforehand and did the same thing, because the first night I wore my battle boots, and that fucked me up pretty good. But then day two and three, I wore my Crocs just on a whim, and it actually worked out, man. Like, I was all right after that.
If you had told me in advance that Mite House and I would both buy high top white Reeboks and wear them, if you had told me that was the most ridiculous footwear choice of the three of us, I would have believed you until I saw the Crocs.
They came in clutch though, man. They came in clutch. I put them in sport mode and it was golden the whole time.
Sport mode. Well, we're going to talk about other clutch accoutrements later, but we made a lot of critical decisions that all aided towards a fantastic time. Things that would, if we re-recorded Concert Survival, would now be part of that show. But we're going to talk about that more to come. So we liked the venue. A pretty good sound overall. I preferred the smaller stages. I had my best times at the two smaller stages. So if I was you know, eating the porridge and trying to say this one is just right, it would have been that medium-sized venue or that pub-sized venue. I thought, Franny, I thought the main stage didn't sound the best, but that's okay because the bands I went to see were those smaller bands.
Yeah, for the most part, I agree with you, except for the sound of the big stage. I didn't think it sounded too bad, but it might have been just the band's sound crew that were setting it up or whatever. But for the most part, yeah, sure. I agree with you. The small stage and the medium stage were the money stages. That's where I had the most fun.
Well, of course, we were at the Rave Eagles Club, which is just a stone's throw away from the Ambassador Hotel, which for you death-obsessed gore hounds are well aware that that is where Jeffrey Dahmer took a man's life. Scummy piece of shit that Jeffrey Dahmer was. But let's splice in to think about what the little true Sagan elite, the TSE, has to say about staying in the Ambassador Hotel.
Any burning thoughts on staying in the hotel where Jeffrey Dahmer so brutally delivered a man onto his end?
An untimely end indeed. However, I have no thoughts on it because I've stayed here many times before. And in fact, it influences me more to listen to Macabre and the Dahmer album, especially the track Ambassador Hotel, which is haunting.
I have a thought. Jeffrey went down to the Ambassador Hotel with a young man he didn't know too well. And when he awoke, the young man was dead. And then now I'm drunk and I can't remember the rest.
Folks, this is but a taste of the lack of critical thinking that you will find out here at the Milwaukee Metal Fest. Sir, would you say that there's a chance you had just a touch of sexual fascination with the misdeeds and foul deeds of Jeffrey Dahmer? Sir, you're staying in his room.
Not a chance at all, in fact, of sexual...
Not a slight movement.
Not even a quarter chub. A sexual thought flows through my mind when I think about it. I truly just think about the Macabre song, Ambassador Hotel, and the haunting riff, and the funny lyrics. Sexuality plays absolute no part in this.
One of the things that's always made me sad is a man in denial. And as I walk amongst the crowd here at Milwaukee Metal Fest, it is obvious, as I observe...
It's obvious this place is crawling with sexual deviants.
The deviants, degenerates, and deplorables abound here at Milwaukee Metal Fest.
Three men in a tub. Jeffrey Dahmer took showers with dead men in his tub. He was too exhausted to cut them up, so he put them in cold water. What does that do?
Lock up your daughters. Make sure you know where safe your children are, because here, Neckwrecker bringing you field coverage at the Milwaukee Metal Fest, and it is pandemonium here in 2023, the year of our Lord.
How was that? These fucking idiots.
True Sagan Elite coming in with True the Sagan hot Elite. Stuff.
Coming out with goddamn limericks about Jeffrey Dahmer. I wasn't the haikus from Macabre. I was not expecting that.
took me off guard on that one.
In the pain of scene, well, I recorded that there's a huge patio outside of the Rave, and it's stacked with food trucks, some of them faster than others, all of them pretty delicious, but plenty of areas to sit. And this is Friday, even though this whole festival was really well attended. I mean, this thing was really blown out with folks. Friday was a little bit more low-key because some folks bought tickets for Saturday and Sunday when the diehards were there Friday. So Friday, we're getting off to a hot start. And part of that hot start was something that you've been talking about when you review bands as your nomenclature. But I'm talking about the Franny Pack.
Franny, tell us a little bit about... Pack.
Yeah, tell us about how the Franny Pack came in clutch. What does it mean to you to bring a Franny Pack to a festival?
So, much like Wrecker said about, that's my rating convention. And I chose so because when going to a concert, the Franny Pack came in so fucking clutch. You don't have to have a bunch of shit in your pockets weighing down your fresh ass shorts, you know what I mean? Getting pants when you're going into the pit or anything like that. You have all of your accoutrement that you need. right there in your little kangaroo pouch. It's fantastic. I'm talking your phone, your wallet, your koozies, your plugs, and day two and three when, you know, Wrecker and I desperately needed it, fucking chapstick. Everything was right fucking there, easily accessible, never had to worry about losing a damn thing.
It's just the most useful fucking thing between my Reeboks and between the fucking Franny Pack. I'm like, and, you know, I didn't bring it, but I bought a visor for football games. I just got to say, between those three things, I look like a 58-year-old power-walking grandma. But I got to say, it's because they're 58 that they have those things, because it takes years of experience and trials to realize that sometimes looking goofy is being comfortable.
Damn right, baby. Damn right. And I'm all about that comfort. And I am all about that comfort.
I'm never going to travel without a Franny Pack to a festival again. Like, they are so fucking clutch. And the thing I loved about it is I feel like I'm Ned Flanders. Like, I feels like I'm wearing nothing at all. But, like, when you have a fucking Fanny Pack and you fill that shit with all the things you need, now you're freed up to wear the loosest gym teacher clothing that you want. So, like, I was in sweatpants with – or sweat – cut off sweatpants without even a concern about losing my shit. So, yeah, I didn't mean to make a fucking season one finale about MMF be about the merits of a fanny pack. But if we didn't go into this, we would be failing our droomies.
Correction. Franny pack. It's a franny pack.
It is a franny pack. That is a that is needed.
You droomies, listen up. Next time you go out to a festival or even just a regular concert, make sure you get you a Franny Pack. Again, I cannot sing the praises of these things high enough. They're incredible.
In the famous words of Dwayne Elizondo Hector Mountain Dew Camacho, in regards to a Franny Pack, get me one and get you one too. You're going to need it.
God, you did not do... Oh, shit.
Oh, fuck. Well, Franny, you know, going back to our best of list to close out 2022 listening, we did the Riffies. We did the Riffies, our annual, semi-annual, always to be again annual awards to commemorate the best of 2022. Well, we also want to do a little bit of, there's so many fucking bands in this thing, like over like 50, I should know the number, but a lot of fucking bands. And we're not going to go into everyone. We're going to talk about our highlights. And part of that talk is going to include giving out some awards. So, Franny, Wrecker, and of course you, we are collectively presenting the Good Land Awards, sponsored by the Franny Pack Union Workers of Local 651. So, as we break down these bands, we're going to be giving out some special distinctions.
All right. And there's going to be a couple of good ones. I know you got some picked out. I got a couple picked out too, and I'm pretty excited to hand these out. So, yeah, once again, Franny Pack Union 651 represent.
Franny, there's so much to talk about. Day 1 I think was for me the day where I was most haggard. I mean, like, it was just, you know, you get up early, you just get in the car, you try to record some audio about Franny needing the shit, and before you know it, you're fucking tired. And so day 1 for me was kind of a blur, but like when I look back, you know, droomies, if you haven't headed over to our Instagram in a while, check out the videos we've been posting. Midnight opened this show for me. When I say open the show, they were the first band I saw that I was like, oh boy, these boys got it. And I've been waiting to see this fucking thrashmaster of a Lemmy worshiper for a long time. Midnight fucking crushed.
Yeah, they were... God, they brought the energy that we did not, that we could not muster up for ourselves. You know what I mean? Like, it was insane. It was genuinely insane. These boys were all over the fucking stage. I mean, they were hopping up on their stacks and everything like that, playing, you know, just shredding on top of their 6-foot stacks. They were like jumping in the crowd playing. It was nuts, dude. It was fucking crazy.
You know, and in my head, I want to believe that they smashed a really expensive guitar and got caught up in the moment, because they closed out that set by smashing their fucking guitars. And your boy got footage of it. Head over, check that video out. Currently, I don't know if the bots are getting their hands around it. Looks like that shit's going viral for a metal community. But yeah, Midnight fucking crushed. But I still have to say, and Franny, I'm open to whatever band you want to talk about, of course, but for me and you, I want to just say, I feel like Imperial fucking Triumphant was for us kind of the big pop of day one.
Oh, I could not agree any more with that. There's no band that I saw that day that was as revolutionary of an experience at a live metal setting than that. Like, that was incredible. You praise these boys in previous episodes, and I was just like, okay, I'll check them out. And I'm not gonna lie, I found listening to it at home a little challenging, but then when totally. I saw them in the live setting, holy fuck, my dudes and dudettes, holy fuck. As Wrecker has said before, if you get a chance to see these guys, do not miss that chance.
And they're just something different. They are different live. If you see them live, you get swept up into the current. They pull you out with this vicious riptide of experimentation. And as you take your last fucking breaths, knowing you're about to go down in the murky depths of that water and die, you are glad because it is all consuming and all enveloping them, Imperial Triumphant, as a live experience. So let's go to the floor and see what we've got to say in advance of Imperial Triumphant.
Here we are on the eve of Imperial Triumphant after being long touted, long hyped, long promoted as the undisputed lineal heavyweight champion of experimental heavy metal. And here I am with Franny. Franny, what are your thoughts?
Well, you know, I've been hearing about these guys for a long time, going back to episode whatever it was that we did. But I tell you what, I'm super fucking jacked to see these fuckers in person, live and uncut, ready to get some champagne toasted all over me, ready to see those beautiful gold masks all the way from New York. Let's go.
Franny, you talk a big game. You seem like a man of culture, but you're drinking a Bud Light. What say you?
It's the cheapest and the gnarliest, so, you know. And Kid Rock says he hates it, so fuck him.
There's no amount of druidic preparation that can prepare you for spending $13 a drink, which is what we're doing here at the Ray Beavitals Club, surrounded by degenerate mouth breathers, grease hogs. Just heard about deodorant a couple weeks back, and here we are, men of enlightenment, men of knowledge, men of the Renaissance, awaiting Imperial Triumphant and their triumphant return.
You said it. You couldn't have said it any better. You really couldn't have. I'm just, like I said, I'm just excited to see these fuckers. I want champagne in and around my mouth hole. That's it.
Awaiting gilded golden showers from champagne from estates not long seen in the heart of France. We await our bubbly shower. As we await Imperial Triumphant's return, we are surrounded by roughly 200 denizens of Milwaukee, frothing at the mouth, frothing at the waist, some of them frothing from the ass. Shout out to our Airbnb for hooking us up with a steam shower with programmable music.
Not only does it have programmable music, it has programmable lights for when you really want to impress the ladies.
Let the Droomies know I'm five drinks in. Maybe a recently legalized edible kicking in. And here I am.
I'm so excited. I'm just happy to be here with you.
We like go fucking full circle.
A dream come true that I didn't even know I had. And here I am, part of Milwaukee, you know, just getting ready. We've been here for about 4 hours now, but it only feels like 20 minutes. Like, it's just constant go, 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 one stage to the next. We've got a hot dog and a couple waters in between there, but for the most part, it's fucking Bud Lights and headbanging metal, baby. Let's go.
Well, Franny, you mentioned dreams come true. When I look at you, you look about half a Make-A-Wish while I'm over here looking like half a Shriner. Just excited. So, Droomies, as me, I'm going to sign out as a Shriner. I got my little Make-A-Wish child. We'll check in with you after Imperial Triumphant.
Oh, my God, dude.
Franny, we were fucking lit up and feeling good for Imperial.
Oh,
and
my God.
We kind of alluded to this, but their whole gimmick is spraying people down with a bottle of champagne. Those who want to take part of their ceremony, and they popped the cork and did something special. What did you do?
Oh, what did I do? What did little Franny do? Franny fucking power pushed his way up to the edge of the stage and told everybody, I came all the way here from St. Paul. I'm going to get mine. All right. And I got up there. I got my fucking champagne communion. And not only that, I got that shit on tape too. Head over to the Instagram. Check it out. You'll see, you know, Franny getting just goosed with fucking cheap ass champagne, baby.
Franny, you are such a fucking spark plug. I will feel like, I mean, you did so many things over this 3-day weekend that are now written in DOD lore. And drinking from the Imperial Triumphant Sabbath, their holy chalice, as they pour that champagne down your greasy gullet, and you filmed it? You had the presence of mind to film it. And that's going to be a theme. Folks, he filmed a lot, okay? Franny filmed yeah. a lot of shit. I was doing mostly band coverage, but he was doing the live Forrest Gump living his best life coverage. So head over to Instagram. Watch him drink the bubbly. You're going to see a couple other things, I think, too. So, Franny, I loved seeing you do that. And I tried to get showered. I was out of range. I was one row back from you.
Oh, man. You know, when the moment strikes, you just got, like I said, you just got to fucking push your way up there. Assert your dominance. I asserted my 5'7" dominance over some other short guys. And you know what? Like I said, I got mine. And that was truly something to behold, too. Like, I heard about it. And I got to experience it live firsthand. Like that was something that's going to live in my memory for the rest of my life. No doubt. And yeah, the fact that I had presence of mind, like you alluded to, is kind of shocking because yeah, we were pretty well in the bag at that point.
Well, my only other burning thoughts from day one, aside from the fact that, you know, we were just tired and it had been a long day. For me, I want to hear your thoughts. I loved Ghost. Ghost is something different. At this festival was so much death metal and so much thrash metal. Any band that represented a change of pace, such as Imperial Triumphant or Ghost, who I'm about to talk about, like that was like a golden opportunity for me. So I really enjoyed the change of pace bands. Ghost was one of them. Dark Synthwave. I would say definitely the proud recipient of the Cigarette and Eyeliner Award for most goth-looking performer of the weekend. Yeah. And I mean that in the most, like, loving way. Like, he looked awesome. He rocked out. I loved Ghost. What did you think?
Oh, Ghost was great. Ghost was great. That was, like, the first time I've seen, like, a Dark Synthwave performance in person. And, yeah, I had a lot of fun with it. I just remember vividly you and I both being right up at the stage just fucking banging out, having a grand old time. And just, you know, I remember alluding to the fact that if it sounded like you and I were in like a white Lamborghini just cruising down the highway, like we were right in the pocket too. It was fantastic, baby.
We had so much fun. We had so much fun. And you're right. We were right in the pocket. A 1988 Nintendo racing game cresting a pixelated skyline, seeing a city off in the distance and Ghost blasting across some shit kicking speakers. It was phenomenal.
It was really great.
Franny, I like don't know if I had like a fugue state or a stroke, but when I only had 3-4 beers, well, according to the audio, at least 5, like an hour before this moment in time that I was talking about. But I don't remember much else from the night. Like, I was so tired. Like, I didn't catch Napalm Death. I did see Revenge, but I was ready to, I had to peace the fuck out for Biohazard. Did you catch Napalm? I know you talked about it.
Oh, yeah, yeah, definitely caught Napalm Death. They fucking crushed. They fucking crushed. They were in the mid-sized venue, and I had to take a little breather at that point, so we caught the balcony seats, and we were sitting down while enjoying Napalm Death. But, yeah, they were fantastic, and some of the messages that they were spouting, you know, in between songs were just really incredible. I won't go into detail, but, like, we got too much stuff to cover. But it was great. It was a fantastic performance. Warbringer, saw Warbringer also. They fucking crushed. I agree with you. It was kind of like a fugue state for a while there. Like, it's just a big blur. But I remember Napalm Death and Warbringer. And, yeah, I do remember seeing a little bit of Revenge also. But, yeah, at this point in the night, it was just a fucking blur.
I was just so exhausted at that point. So I got out of there, did not catch Biohazard. It's not, you know, they're not knocking them. I just, by the time every one of these days headliners were performing, you got to think, like, we have expended so much energy and No one's out of control with partying. So like we don't have like that, you know, that liquid energy that some of the people were having at that time. So like for me, most nights I was pretty shot up by about 10 o'clock.
Oh yeah.
So that closed out day one. Before we even go into day two, I just want to call out the crowd, and specifically there's a couple of kids that were really prominent all weekend, thrashing the fuck out, thrashing on the stage to Suicidal Tendencies. There's one kid who, like, I think you mentioned it in one of these audio clips, who was challenging you for the annual crowd surfing championship. Like, you crowd surfed a lot, but this kid was crowd surfing all the time.
It was wild, man. It was wild. I first saw this kid come up during Sanguisigabog. You know, he's just getting floated along like he's on a cloud because he, you know, he probably weighs like 45 pounds. And he'd get off and he'd go right back to the back of the crowd and do it again. And I was like, this little son of a bitch is going for my belt. He totally beat me, though. He was constantly crowd surfing. I'd never seen anything like that before. It was nuts.
I just loved that this show, you know, maybe it's due to its history, Jamie Josta bringing it back, but there was a lot of veterans of the original festival, which went on for like 20 years before it, you know, went kaput. And as a result, these men and women, they've all aged, and some of them have had kids. And now, so at this festival, you had a big variety of fans and some people bringing their kiddos. And I was really glad that just generally speaking about the crowd, just a really good positive vibe from everyone. I don't know, Franny, did you pick up the same sort of sense?
Oh yeah, it was incredible. Like, I did not see any like hostility or anything, like even hostile vibes or anything like that. I did not see anything like that throughout the whole weekend, and I was genuinely surprised about that, because you know, when people get tuned up on booze and other substances, they can get a little feisty and get a little testy, but there was not any ill will towards anybody, it seemed. And it was really, really fucking cool to see that it was just a lot of good times, a lot of good vibes from everybody. It was pretty magical.
Just super chill. And I mean, I've always had that experience. I've went on 70,000 Tons of Metal, which of course is the floating metal festival. And I had the same experience of like just camaraderie. And that's the global tribe that is heavy metal. So I just want to shout out that if you are on the fence on going to a metal festival or Milwaukee Metal Fest, like that's one of the big, beyond the music, it is the camaraderie. And that was excellent at the rave. I also, though, you know, you talk about there wasn't like a lot of people like, you know, too out of control. I'm really thankful for that. Like, I've gone to metal shows where that really bring out like the tourist sort of metal fans, and people get just way too boozed up. Well, I don't know if it's just like the right mix of people or the fact that beers were like $12. I was really thankful not to be surrounded by like odd overserved people. I didn't see hardly any of that.
Oh yeah, I agree. I've been to plenty of concerts, as you alluded to, where people just get fucking blackout drunk. And don't get me wrong, there was plenty of people there that were heavily intoxicated, but like, it wasn't to the point where I'm just like, oh my God, cut this guy off or anything like that. Like, it was, I was really surprised that it wasn't insane, that there was a bunch more people like passed out in a corner or something like that, or pissing on their own selves or something. It was crazy.
Well, later we're going to have some audio of a little bit of bodily functions coming up pretty viciously near you and Latisse. So stick around. You're going to want to hear that. You know, I think next year, one thing I want to do, though, is play maybe Milwaukee Metal Fest crowd bingo and get some sheets out to our friends. Like, and it's definitely going to include, you know, someone projectile vomiting is going to be one person. I feel like somebody dressed as either like an anime character or like a nun will have to be a character. I know you know what I'm talking about.
Yep.
I'm going to have somebody with like a t-shirt cut, not just from the sleeves, but also as like the neck hole, like an entire tank top made with the shirt. That's going to have to be, you know, maybe a fat kid that's thrashing on stage like an animal. That's going to I love that kid, by the way. What a fucking cute kid. But yeah, just crowd bingo. Yeah, I don't catch them all if you can. They're pretty slow moving. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. That'll be fun to do.
All right, Franny. So we returned to our Airbnb, got rested, had a beautiful breakfast, and day two opening with Phobophilic. And holy goddamn, Christ. You know, we've been high on these guys for a while. Like, they blew us away when we saw them at the Turf Club in St. Paul. And I looked back at our Instagram messages, and I had sent them a message months ago about how much we were looking forward to seeing them again. And they opened day two with Guitar Tone from Hell. I mean, this thing was chock full of death metal that you could not sleep without. But this band in particular, Phobophilic, crushed and opened the show, I think, better than anyone did on day two or three.
Yeah, exactly. I think day two opening with Phobophilic could not have gone down any better, and it couldn't have been a better choice, because I feel like day two was genuinely the death metal a la carte serving that you could have gotten. Like, there was so many incredible, like, death metal band, like, it's, again, it's hard to put into words, but I feel like day two was the day of days, in my opinion. And opening with Phobophilic was just incredible. As you saw, the guitar tones these guys put out were fucking insane. It was, that whole room was pretty goddamn packed. Like, everybody was having it. It was so much fun seeing these guys.
Well, think about this. Phobophilic was booked against Undeath for the second half of their set. And I know you snuck out, I think, a little before me. I stuck around for Phobophilic's entire set. That's how good I was seeing, or that's how much I enjoyed the performance. So Phobophilic, Guitar Tone from Hell, loved them. And of course, we're going to have to talk about Undeath. What are your, I was going to ask your thoughts, but let's just cut to the floor and see what you might have to say about this.
Okay. Yeah.
Fresh off the heels of an absolutely scintillating performance by Vermillion, day two of the Milwaukee Metal Fest, we've got Franny, multiple time, two-time crowd surfing champion, fist-bumping Alex Jones of Undeath on the way to the floor. Franny, how the hell are you?
Yo, I'm fucking fantastic. Let me tell you something, Milwaukee Metal Fest, in almost a decade absence, has been delivering so far, hour after hour, minute after minute. It's been unreal. I mean, we're talking Vermillion, Undeath, Terror, Macabre, fucking Frozen Souls about to kick it off here. Like, this shit is unreal.
And if I may add, I'm not sure if I'm stage three cancerous because I saw Malignancy earlier today.
Oh, yeah.
And they absolutely blew the roof off the building. So, Franny, I think, suffice it to say, it's been absolutely electric festival so far.
It's been fucking terrifying in the best way possible, really. So much metal in one day, it's hard to fucking fathom what's all going on. I mean, you're bouncing from venue to venue, and it's fucking just amazing.
Franny, how clutch has the Franny Pack come in throughout the festival, whether it is surfing through the crowd or trying to fish out money for a hot dog? How much has it come in? What kind of factor has the Franny Pack played?
Well, I'll tell you what, as I do my album ratings, I will rate the Franny Pack on a 1-5 scale, and the Franny Pack gets 5 out of 5 Franny Packs for being so utilitarian. It has come in so fucking clutch, it breaks the goddamn car, basically.
Well, Drumies, tonight we've got Anthrax, we've got Suicidal Tendencies, and you can bet we're going to come in hot with a review of everything that's to come, and maybe, just maybe, a few field guerrilla reports from the stage and from the crowd. So, until then, Neckwrecker signing off.
Well, Franny, of course, the audio wasn't very long, but the bottom line, you fucking crowd-surfed and fist-bumped Alex Jones, the double bicep given, front double bicep posing Alex Jones. I mean, goddamn, you're just a beast. You're a fucking spark plug and a legend.
It was so fucking fun, dude. I told these guys to get me up there. Get me up to the stage. And I was up there crowd surfing. And it was just incredible, man. I got to fist bump the shit out of Alex Jones, and I felt like his double front bicep power get transferred through his fist into mine when he did
transferred
that.
Transferred you, like, directly into your body, your core. You know, I said you're a fucking legend and a spark plug, but you know what you also are? You know what you fucking also, you know what you are. You're a fucking Cro-Mag dyed in the wool. Try it. Look, you'll do a little defending of the faith, but you're a fucking Cro-Mag. And I can't wait to hear what the tribal elder has to say about your adventure. So,
oh, man.
I mean, you're fist bumping Alex Jones and filming it. And that's going to be something that I think we talk about for years to come. What anything else you can add about fucking Undeath?
Oh, man. God, that whole set was wild. Like you said, they were opening against Phobophilic, so I was able to catch some of Phobophilic and then caught some of Undeath, too. And, man, I just wish there was this gap between those bands, but it was so much fun. But if you want to see how much fun I had, head on over to the Instagram, where we're going to put the video up there, and we're going to have a Franny face reveal. Wrecker is going to stay shrouded in secrecy, but we're going to do a Franny face reveal. This video is too fun not to put up there and put out to the rest of the world.
You want to fuck? You talk about a season one fucking cliffhanger. We're fucking pulling the mask off a luchador here. I hope you fucking realize the gravity of the situation. So fucking A, Franny fist pumping Alex Jones. It was a TMZ video. It should be on World Star Hip Hop. Fucking fantastic. Well, Franny, we also checked out MRSA, you know, the famous illness, but MRSA, just a theatrical silly band. I'm going to go ahead and bestow upon them another wrestling call out, but I'm going to give them the It's Still Real to Me, Damn It award for the most theatrical performance, because MRSA, they had people dressed up as like all sorts of horror icons. They had Freddy and Jason, and they should have had Pinhead. I think I missed Pinhead. But seeing Freddy on stage just gave me goosebumps, because in our going back 8 months ago, you know, we talk so much shit about our own lore. But me seeing Freddy on stage was making me remember the time I said I wouldn't just fuck Freddy, I would marry him. So seeing Freddy on stage, I was kind of feeling butterflies in my stomach. But Franny, MRSA, they had all these theatrical folks dressed up. It was really cool. And that led into, for me, a very special band from Wisconsin that took me by surprise. So I'm going to go ahead and bestow the following band with the Peter North I Didn't See That Coming award. And this goes to Vermillion. Vermillion was, my God, the most death metal-y death metal band at the whole goddamn festival. What say, Franny, what did you think about Vermillion?
Oh my God, these fucking boys. When you bestowed the I Didn't See That Coming award upon these guys, I cannot agree more. It just completely took us by surprise. And it was a fucking show of shows right there. These guys fucking killed it. I'm just finding myself kind of reliving that moment and reeling and just being like, holy fuck, where the hell did these guys come from? You know what I mean?
Just the riffs that are breaking one's neck. Outrageous. That's the bands I live for. Now, maybe not the most original, but goddamn definitely crushing. You know, they talk about when these eggheads get together, they try to figure out, you know, gray matter or what precipitated the Big Bang. Well, I got to say, the universe listened to Vermillion and lost its goddamn mind. Boom. Life. They were fucking massive, heavy as a black hole. Vermillion, they're maybe like a band that's still on the rise, just fine. I mean, these are old guys. They were old guys, and I say that as an old guy. I loved them. I can't wait to see them again. I wish they would call. I haven't heard from you, Vermillion. Tell me if I'm doing something wrong, Vermillion. I will try to change for you, Vermillion.
I will change for you.
Oh, fuck. Fantastic band.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. Cash Money Millionaires, Vermillion, check them out. You know, we talked about Might House earlier, the biggest bastard in the land. Let's cut to him, get a little day two thoughts.
Droomies, I'm here to bring you a special live report. We're coming with an absolute heathen of a man. Yggdrasil, big as the planets, guarding Asgard. Mighty old man, what have you enjoyed most so far of day two of the Milwaukee Metal Festival?
So far, day two has been phenomenal. My favorite part has probably been Undeath. For some reason, the lead singer has this charisma that just puts spell on the audience. It's fun to watch him interact and direct the crowd to do his bidding.
Straight from the man's lips, have you been surprised by the distinct lack of carnies in the audience so far?
See, here's where I think you're wrong. You're just not looking hard enough. They're everywhere.
Droomies, this is the type of coverage you tune in for. We give you a full chair. You need only the edge of it. Stick with us as we journey through night two.
Franny, there's been a lot already in day two, but you and your fucking book of heavy metal DOD lore, you've already drank from the cup and floated to the Jones. But now, not only did you see Frozen Soul, but you fucking scored a fun little interview. I mean, how the fuck did that happen? And I can't wait to hear it, but give us a little bit of a rundown.
Oh, man. So after Frozen Soul, this is a little while after Frozen Soul, It put on their set, which, by the way, was fucking crushing. It was just an incredible set. They did an amazing job, as they usually do, with a little cameo from Alex Jones, who did, like, some vocals for a song, which was also crazy as fuck. But I'm getting ready to go grab a drink, and I see fucking Chad Green, the front man and singer of Frozen Soul, going up to the bar, and I start striking up a conversation with him. I'm like, hey, man, can I buy you a drink? And he's like, well, the beers are free, but I'll take a shot with you. And I was like, yep, okay, let's fucking do this. So I, you know, bought a round of, like, this lemon shot. I don't even know what the hell it was. It was delicious as hell, tasted like lemonade. It was incredible. And that, I feel like, gave me enough courage, liquid courage, to ask him Love for it. Like a 60 second interview. And he was like, fuck yeah, dude, let's go. And I was just like, oh man, I was so shaky. Like, he said yes, and my hands were my hands were fucking shaking. I got weak in the knees, like, started having a blackout for some, like, you know, just the room came closing in on me because I was just so excited, like
tunnel vision.
Oh my god, it was insane.
Dick moving.
And I just remember him saying, you know, because I think it was Anthrax or Suicidal Tendencies, one of the two bands were just getting ready to do sound or doing sound check, so it was a little loud. So he takes me back to where, like, you know, some of the bands hang out or whatever. And as I'm walking back to this little area with Chad Green, I see Wrecker and House look at me, and they're like, giving me the what the fuck face.
Oh, we were like, oh, he's definitely jerking him off.
Oh my god. Oh man. But we'll cut in that.
Yeah, why don't we let's take a listen to what we got here.
All right, this is Franny with the Druids Doom podcast. I'm here with Chad Green from Frozen Soul. Chad, how does it feel to be part of the Milwaukee Metal Festival after almost a decade of not being around?
It's fucking amazing. I've only ever seen videos of this fest, so for me it's like a milestone, you know? I play with some of my all-time favorite bands, like, such a cool, relaxed place with badass vendors. It's fucking sick. I'm super honored.
And then, out of all the bands that you've seen today, I know you performed as well and you fucking crushed. Out of all the bands that you've seen today, who is your favorite and who are you most looking forward to as far as the weekend goes?
I'd say my favorite so far is most definitely Phobophilic. We've been on tour with them, but tonight they sounded insane. They played first on the stage we played. They fucking crushed it. Obituary just got done playing, and they were fucking insane. So, yeah, I'm stoked for... we're staying tomorrow, too, so I'm stoked.
Yeah. So since you're staying tomorrow, I think you said you're done with touring. Who are you excited to see for tomorrow?
Definitely excited to see Gatecreeper.
Oh, fuck yeah, man. Fuck yeah. Well, thank you very much, Chad. Sure appreciate you doing this, and I hope you have a good rest of the weekend. I hope you have a good off-season for touring.
Oh, yeah. Thanks, man.
All right. Thanks, dude.
So the bottom line, Droomies, we've always kind of talked about whether or not we want to do interviews, but if we do, that's our fucking first. And Franny, the big balls of steel, I love it. You did a fucking fantastic job, and how fun. What a cool memory.
Oh man, it was wild, man. Again, that's going to be one of the many things that just lives seared in my memory for the rest of my life from this weekend. It was wild, dude. It was wild.
Franny, you were just a golden boy the whole fucking 3 days, and I just love it. And yeah, day two. I mean, there's so much to talk about. I would just Micabre. They crushed from. I know they're from Wisconsin, but I forget the exact town. But yeah, Micabre is a fantastic death metal band. Loved them. Raven. I got to say, the award for least likely to need Viagra goes to fucking Raven. I mean, these dudes, they've been around since 1974, but they're absolutely vital. They're full of vigor, and they put on a performance that won over everybody. Like, let me just, Franny, Raven, they don't need any Blue Chew chewables, because they were fucking stone rock putting out a performance. I'm like, are these guys 30 or 70? I Saxon, going back to in one of our episodes, we talked about they got the Metamucil Fiber Plus Award for album. I mean, they also are a band who also is up there, but just goes to show, much like Raven, that time equals experience equals I can fucking play. And Raven crushed. I loved them. Did you get a chance to catch into that? I lost track of you, I think, at this point.
Yeah, I got to. I I think I caught maybe like one or two songs of Raven, but then I think House and I ended up going see Ripper, which was like kind of like new wave of British heavy metal style band. And I feel like they were like battling for attention because like, you know, there was people like swip swapping from both rooms to check them both out. It was pretty wild. You know, Ripper fronted by former Judas Priest singer Tim Ripper Owens. I mean, that was an amazing show too. Like, I had a lot of fun with that because as we alluded to earlier in the show, it was kind of a break from like the dingy, dirty death metal. You know what I mean? Like that. It was just like some, like I said, some new wave of British heavy metal. Just a lot of fun. A lot of fun.
I mean, talking about a lot of fun, I saw four young dudes who looked like they were straight out of a time machine during Raven and were thrashing so goddamn hard. And it just made me so happy. These are like a few of the people I knew I had to talk to. So let's cut to the floor and get a little perspective following Raven from what I like to call four boys that look like the spirit of 1986. Here we go.
Neckwrecker here at the Druids of Doom, and I'm here with the Quadrants, a fucking diehard metalheads who just blew it up for Raven. Yeah. Boys, tell me, how did Raven make you feel?
Fuck yeah! I don't listen to them a ton, but I'm going to now. These guys fucking rip, man.
I saw the empty fucking pit, and I knew I had to go in there, man. There's no one in here. There's like four of us.
I saw the kid with the Exodus shirt and immediately got a little excited, man.
The energy was low, and we brought it to the top!
Fucking rules!
I mean, that was excellent!
Fucking Raven!
You boys look like you're straight out of 1986, and I fucking love it!
Hell yeah!
Who are you here to see this weekend?
Suicidal Tendencies and Obituary!
Anthrax!
I saw Anthrax at Summerfest with Waze,
so they're
fucking you saw them too?
Yeah!
Dude!
It was excellent!
It was wild! Obituary's on in like 20 minutes.
We gotta get ready for that shit!
For all these listeners who might not be here at Milwaukee, would you say you'd come back this year?
Yes! Absolutely!
My dad came here in 1999 interviewing a bunch of the bands.
Oh, that's it.
He met Anal Blessed and he was afraid of Don Decker.
Oh, that's a justified fear, I would say.
Yeah. Apparently, he was just a little cuckoo in the head. But, like...
Well, boys, I can't thank you enough for your time. You're fucking magnetic. You had all the energy in the world. I'm so impressed.
Thank you!
Thanks, man.
Neckwrecker out.
Fucking A. Those guys... Those boys got it.
Those boys, all these bands were talking about Vermillion, but I set them aside. These boys got it. These four boys got it. And they, Franny, I remember being them, and I remember talking to old heads and being like so infected with this blood disease. We've always talked about that is heavy metal. And it's so cool to see four young dudes thrashing out together with the spirit in them. I just loved it.
Yeah, you can't say much more than that. Like, I wish I would have got to see these guys firsthand because, I know I would have been gabbing it up with them till the cows come home. But good God, they just sounded like they were living their best life at this incredible festival.
Well, what more can be said? A lot of great characters, a lot of camaraderie, a lot of heavy metal was flowing on night two. Ripper, I loved him. I'm glad you brought him up. Fantastic performance. I mean, I know we're leaving so much on the cutting room floor, but we don't want this to be 6 hours long. Day two for me was my peak. I loved all 3 days, but day two was my peak. I was biting my lip and quaking, just ready to go. Obituary crush, Suicidal. I was comatose up in the balcony, but I liked what I saw.
Day two, man, fucking A. Day two was just wild. Like you said, it was the peak. I 100% agree that day two was genuinely the peak of the Milwaukee Metal Festival. It was so much fun, so much fun. But yeah, come time for Suicidal Tendencies and Anthrax towards the end of the night. Yeah, I was bushed.
I mean, just so much to call out. Violence, I heard, was a fantastic performance. I mean, I can't wait to talk about day three because some real deep highlights were there. But day two, I wish I was. Again, I'm just going to out myself as a baby. I could not make it to see much of Anthrax. I know you boys did, but I was just shut the fuck up. And I've seen Joey Belladonna so many times. But yeah, you know, a wall-to-wall, pandemonious, harmonious, ceremonious day. I loved it. Franny, any other thoughts on day two coverage?
No, man, no. I think we pretty much got the peaks and the highlights of it. But as you said, yeah, there's just so much. There's so much being left on the cutting room floor. But yeah, it's too hard to pack it all in there. But yeah, day two was fuck.
Day two was bananas. And before we go and give a quick rundown of day three, I want to shout out the champion of the entire festival for me. Like, I'm so impressed with the people of Milwaukee. They could not have been nicer, whether it was people in the neighborhood where we were staying or all the staff that ran the event itself. Like, Milwaukee is full of a lot of fantastic people, and the area we were in was predominantly African-American, a black community, and they were so welcoming to all these people of all different backgrounds and just extending love and respect to everyone. So I don't know, man. I have a really high opinion of the people of Milwaukee.
Oh, yeah. Literally everything about the city of Milwaukee that we got to experience was just incredible. Like you said, the staff that worked the Eagle Rave Club, like from the servers to the security, to the people that, as you alluded to, that we experienced just walking around town, hitting up a couple of the little shops. Everybody was so incredibly nice and welcoming. Couldn't have been more thankful for that, 100%.
Yeah, I mean, it's so flattering when a city is just so so cool and so chill. So we had a great time in Milwaukee, and it really surprised me because we've talked a lot about like the outskirts of Wisconsin and those towns that have just one stoplight, how you have to be careful. So we weren't sure what to expect, but it was good to see that Milwaukee is the baby face of Wisconsin, because all these outlier towns, you gotta be fucking careful. But I really do fuck with Milwaukee, and I want to go back, catch a Brewers game maybe next year. But you know, lots of festival highlights, and Franny, survival guide for festivals. You know, I'm a little bitch and I try to eat relatively healthy, and you're all planning meals. You're like, how about 2 pounds of bacon? I'm like, dude, no, like I want to have like some fucking Greek yogurt or something. You know what? I'm a dumb fuck. And once again, you have proven yourself to be the teacher, because that bacon is how you want to start your day on a festival, a day following moderate drinking and a lot of standing and sun. Bacon, what do you think? Oh, tell man, me about that, bacon.
What is the deal with the bacon?
what's the deal with low sodium bacon?
Oh man. No,
they
yeah,
took
the bacon.
Nitrates out of my bacon.
The breakfast that we had for day two just really came, again, it's just another clutch decision, because we made the bacon, we had a fuckload of eggs, we had some toast, and we had some little hash browns. I made a sandwich, smashed it all together, a la military eating training. And that laid an incredible base for the evening. But then we had leftover bacon that we put into our sandwiches, because we brought sandwiches to the venue, because, you know, trying to save a little money when we can. Put it in the sandwiches, and it was even better. It was clutch as hell, dude.
Is there fucking anything better than just a well thought out, well built sandwich? My God.
No, there really isn't.
We go out to the car, and it's a journey to get out there. But by the time we got out there, those sandwiches were calling us. And yeah, you know, that's part of the fun. Next year when we do this, I'm going to put some respect on your name when it comes to planning that menu, because when it comes to planning the menu, this boy's got it. And I love the bacon. So that set us up, Franny, for day fucking three. You know, we're a little haggard at this point. How are you feeling heading into day three?
Oh, man. At the start of day three, I was feeling all right. We got, you know, some brunch, had a bloody. Again, kind of setting up a good base. But towards the end of the night, holy buckets, was I just... Ugh, I was tired as hell at the end of day three, baby.
You know, I had to kind of get myself up for this as well. And I did rebound, but, you know, Hath was the first band I was really ready to listen to and absorb. And when by the time they came on, I was in the right sort of, you know, mode. And I mean, I think they said they're from Jersey, either Jersey or New York. I should know this, but Hath was phenomenal. More great, just death metal.
Yeah, Hath fucking killed it, dude. That was another band that I hadn't really experienced in a at-home setting, but man alive, did they fucking crush it in the live setting.
You know, this is an award I've given out in the past to Bewitcher, but the Slipped Disc Award for most hard pounding, mosh pitting fucking animals is going to go to High Command, who I also saw on day three. I mean, for me, High Command really fucking stole the whole day. They were vicious.
Oh, God. Yeah. High Command was fucking nuts, dude. High Command, that pit that was going on in that small ass venue was violent in a very good way. I mean, there was so much energy being just like shoved around there. It was insane. If you want to see what we're talking about, head over to the Instagram where we got some video of High Command just killing it up on stage. They were incredible. They were genuinely incredible, man.
So much to talk about on day three. Day two stole my attention the most, but High Command as a performance, this side of Vermillion, that it also really caught me by surprise. They're a band I'm going to absolutely be paying attention to moving forward, Franny.
Oh, 100%.
I know you're a big sucker for this style, this crossover thrash, this punky, thrashy crossover style. And I will say there's going to be mistakes at a festival. And my biggest regret, and this is a testament to how great the weekend was, because my biggest regret was just stepping away from this set. I mean, I left this one early. I wanted to run upstairs, and I regret it because they were something special. Anyway, yeah, those mistakes are bound to happen. E3 on the fucking shortstop. You know, we got that was my error. I fucked up. But I think doing is running upstairs to catch the following band, who I gotta say deserve the award for Garbage Pail Kids Least Dignified Fans. And you're gonna eviscerate me. I'm not talking about the band was fantastic, but the fans pissed me off because they had too much heat and I had to get out of the kitchen. But Sangwa fucking Sigabog, a pit the size of Hurricane Andrew.
It was insane, dude. Good thing they put these boys in the big venue because, yes, as Wrecker alluded to, that pit for Sangwa Sigabog was fucking enormous, and it was brutal. I mean, I stuck around from opening to close, and I was physically beat after that one. I needed just to sit down for like a good solid 15 minutes and just get my bearings back because that shit was insane, man. That shit was insane. And
I mean, you're down at the Milwaukee police station looking at lineups because you got physically fucking assaulted.
Yeah,
I mean,
dude, it was
you know, and the fucking annoying part to me, like, I know I'm a curmudgeon at this point, you know, there's just sometimes you just don't, you, this boy don't got it, and I did not have it at this point. And I was two rows back from the very front of the stage, and there was about 10 rows behind me. And so, I mean, normally that means you are insulated from a mosh pit, but that pit went extended all the way to the first row. The only people that were exempt were those on the rail. I can't believe that. Even the rail started to get it?
I ended up moving my way up to the rail thinking I was going to be a little safer there. But yeah, no, there was no safety at the rail even. It was wild, dude. It was wild. It was incredible. It was a really good show. Like, the set was awesome, and I had a lot of fun. But yeah, like I said, I was just physically assaulted afterwards.
I mean, another example of my steadily declining cognitive abilities and my age is I'm sitting here like an old man yelling at the clouds and telling kids to get off my grass because they're moshing too fucking hard and with a lack of decorum. But concert survival, know where you're standing. And I did not know where I was standing because Sangwa Sigabog bucked all trends. They're an outlier. No one moshes to the rail. But they did.
Oh, man.
You know, I'm giving them the Garbage Pail Kids Award for Least Dignified Fans. But on the flip side, that's also a compliment. That's also saying this fan base was rabid and they were ready for the heat. They wanted all the smoke, and I was the problem. I didn't want the smoke. I didn't walk my old ass. I got my ass out of there. I'm trying to fucking shoot videos here, people. Don't knock my fucking 2-year-old iPhone out of my hand. I can't afford a new one.
Oh, man. Yeah, that was I didn't even dare bring my phone out for that set because I knew if I would have, that fucker would have gotten toasted. So I kept it safely in the Franny pack. But, oh boy, yeah, that was a lot of fun on that one, man.
Well, I was in better form for the band who I'm going to give, again, Fanny Pack Union Local 651. Thank you for sponsoring the Land of Lake Awards, the Good Land Awards. the award for the most invasive mold spores. That's gonna go to Mulder, of course. It's gonna go to Mulder. I've seen cover art from these boys, fantastic cover art, and I knew they would be a death metal band. I didn't know exactly how fucking awesome they would be, but I was blown away. Fantastic riffs. I ordered the album when I got home. I'm looking for t-shirt. I'm looking for some sweatpants that say Mulder on the side of it because their spores are deep in my body. These spores are in my person and they're now part of me growing. It's part of this illness, this blood disease, Franny. Mulder, I don't know. I would say, Franny, do you fuck with Mulder? But I think you miss these boys. But I'm not sure. Were you there?
No. I believe they were going on the same time as Sanguis Sigabog. So yeah, I didn't catch any Mulder at all.
That's right. There's a little narrative here. That makes a lot. I fucking wormed my way out of that place after about four songs. I'm gonna go check out Mulder. Loved him. It was the right decision for my body.
For your body and your soul, it was the right decision.
Mulder was just chicken soup for the battered mosh pit middle-aged man soul. I loved him.
Oh, yeah, it was great, man. It was great.
Well, main stage sound, it was hit or miss for me. But after the burial, I thought, that's a band. You know, sometimes when I see Immolation, I say that's a professional death metal band. When I see After the Burial, I just think that is a professional heavy metal band.
Oh my God. And so fun too. And not only that, but they're local boys. They say Minneapolis, but House will correct everyone that says otherwise and say they're from the WBL. potato, potato, tomato, potato, whatever, what have you. They did an amazing job. I always have fun seeing these guys, especially when they play Lost in the Static. I just lost my shit. I handed off all my stuff and I went straight to the pit for that song because it's something that I cannot miss to go into the pit to.
One thing I thought was really cool, and I think this bonded us to Frozen Soul, because they did something similar once. But after the burial, mid-set had a really positive message about needing to stay in the present moment, that they dedicated a song to anyone who's lost somebody, which, plot twist, is all of us. And their message was just really cool. I really appreciate the way they approach their fans and just, that's the kind of thing that makes you feel like you're part of something at a show beyond just the music. So I really was touched by After the Burial. I was really touched after the burial. I don't know what I'm saying. Is this a story or is this a testimonial? I don't know what. Show me on the doll. So I liked After the Burial a whole lot, and I also really liked Gate Creeper, who I thought, as part of a day three, just general wrap-up before we go into Unearth and some madness there. But Gate Creeper, another tone from hell. If there was a band who challenged Phobophilic for best tone, the only one I could say would really be Gate Creeper. I loved them.
I'm trying to remember if I caught any of them. I may have been outside taking a breather.
You were plotting your spot for Unearth at this time.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. I had to get there for Unearth, but man, we're going to talk about that in a second, but Jesus H.
I mean, Unearth, they had to know, in terms of booking, the booker behind this decision, this is devious, and I like that they did this, but they put Unearth in the smallest room, and on the surface, maybe some people would look at that and say that's a booking oversight. Fuck no. I'm saying that was absolutely intentional. That was about building exclusivity around one performance because it was absolutely get the fire marshal because there's a problem in here. Packed.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah, Franny, you were in the thick of it for Unearth.
Yeah, it was nuts, man. And the fact that they got booked into the smallest venue for that show is exactly why I'm giving them the literally too big for your own britches award. I mean, this was insane. It was insane. These guys could have easily filled, and I mean plum filled the medium venue. Probably could have done a pretty good job in the big venue too, but they put them in the smallest venue and it was insanity. There was not a spot in this place to stand unless you were a bartender. There was literally no place to stand.
Well, Franny, I was able to, like, just barely get in. Like, Indiana Jones, I'm pulling that hat under the falling rock, trying not to lose my hand. I was able to get in about three rows from the exit, and I stuck around for about the first quarter, first four songs, something like that. But I remember after the show that you and Mite House, you were calling this the performance of the weekend. Do you still feel that way?
Yeah, I think I do, man. I genuinely think I do, because Imperial Triumphant, again, just incredibly revelatory. But as far as like the energy and the heat that was put forth by a band, I think Unearthed for me completely stole the show. I mean, I was right up on the stage, you know, this small venue, there's no gate. There's so many magical moments that I had from this band. You know, I've listened to them a lot before. This was my second drumstick that I got from the weekend I collected. And not only was it my second drumstick, this was my first stage dive. A stick got thrown, bounced off the lead singer, went back towards the drum kit. I said, fuck that. I am getting my stick. I hopped up on the stage, ran over to the kit, grabbed it, and then I just fucking launched myself Superman style.
Well, I've missed almost all of this. I'm sitting outside catching my breath, and then you come outside beat fucking red, and I'm like, what is going on? Let's hear what you have to say.
Oh my god.
Oh no. Franny, a mere 16 feet from you, a woman vomits, her friends look on, and you just got a drumstick in the middle of an Unearthed set. Tell us the story.
I don't even know where to begin. I didn't even notice the girl vomiting. I'm so hopped up on adrenaline right now. I'm seeing fucking red. Like, I'm just ready to keep on fucking keeping on, baby. Oh, there she goes again.
Oh, Franny, she's a geyser, and you got sprayed on like a geyser just a night ago. And here you are again with a fucking drumstick.
Fucking A. You know, I'm going 2 for 2 on the drumstick hunt today. My record is impeccable, although I will say that this little 8-year-old boy crushed my fucking crowd surfing record. This kid crowd surfed like 19 times during Sangwa Singabog and fucking another 13 for After the Burial. The kids are nuts.
I just want to go on the record and say Franny is a fucking undeniable force this whole 3-day period, and I wish I could have captured this the first time he told the story. This dude's, he's beat red. He's glistening. He looks like he's in the middle of a hardware store shit. And I can't wait to see what comes next. At the end, the culmination of Milwaukee Metal Fest is upon us, and Franny's still writing DOD lore. Neckwrecker out.
I can't fucking believe it. I'm just sitting there. You're walking out beat red. Behind you, a woman's vomiting. I'm like, I jam my hand, grab my recorder as fast as I could. I'm like, I got to get footage of this.
Oh, man, it was so wild. When I came out of that Unearthed set, I didn't know if because I was drenched. And I didn't know if it was from sweat or if it was from beer that was getting hucked around or a combination of both. It was insane, man. It was insane.
It was just, and, like, yeah. So surreal to hear you talking about this against the backdrop of, like, this woman. Like, I can't paint a picture. Like, imagine someone loosens a fire hydrant. Like, she was projectile vomiting right behind, like 10 feet away from you, and you're hopped up. Everyone standing around you is cracking the fuck up. It's just a golden memory. And shout out to that lady, because if you're going to puke in the middle of a crowd, it was a very courteous projectile vomit. Like, she had no food in that puke. It was clear. And she just gingerly turned to the side and just, like, just outrageous.
Oh my God. Yeah. I didn't even, yeah. Like you said, I was so jacked up on adrenaline, I didn't even know that was happening. It was crazy, dude. It was nuts. Oh God.
You know, pretty much the last thing I can think to say in terms of just spreading the DOD lore from this 3-day period, you know, we saw Cephalic Carnage, and they brought a fucking blow up inflatable orca whale, and they were tossing it around the crowd, and we were sitting up in the balcony giving our resting our dogs, and we're watching fans do the do-si-do with it and ride it like a horse and go across the ground like a gecko. And here's Franny beckoning this first floor to toss that whale up, and eventually they fucking hurl that whale up to you, and you you fucking just chucked it like a spear down at, like, you viciously threw it back, and everyone erupted. The whole crowd popped.
I was, you know, they got it up to us finally, and I just fucking did like the Ultimate Warrior like rope shake with this thing, you know, just fucking celebrating it. Yeah, and then I was trying to harpoon somebody down in the pit with this Free Willy, and yeah, it was crazy. And not only that, but they had a fucking satanic sax, man. Lest we forget, we have talked about the satanic sax and how incredible it can be in a metal performance. And they had a fucking saxophonist live on stage. It was fucking wild.
We need more sax and metal. I feel like the metal community undervalues the sax as like a grimy party instrument. You get some bassy production on a sax, it sounds phenomenal.
Oh, baby. Oh, baby. Can't agree more. Could not agree more.
Well, Franny, by this time on day three, I think I speak for both of us when I say we were shot up. And we, admittedly, we've seen Lamb of God. At that point, I really wasn't there for them. There's no hate. I went there for the death metal. And yep. For me, that was a wrap. And there's just so much more I could say about this festival. The merchandise. I mean, Spaceballs, the flamethrower, got nothing on the merch they had.
Oh, my God.
We both walked out there with some goodies. I know.
There was so much. It made it like, I'm kind of glad there was so much because it made buying something hard. You know what I mean? Like, oh, God, I could have spent literally a day down there just looking at all this merch. It was nuts, dude.
Yeah, you know, we both in terms of like board games definitely have like acquisition disorder, and we both borderline on having acquisition disorder when it comes to metal.
Oh, yeah.
I was able to show a reasonable amount of restraint. I picked up a single record and grabbed a shirt for me and the gal, and I got the fuck out of there with my finances mostly intact. Believe I will financially recover from this, which I'm glad about. And Franny, I don't know, man. I think I would give the Milwaukee Metal Fest straight up a 10 out of 10. It was one of the best times I've ever had.
I couldn't agree more, man. I could not agree more. This is easily a 5 out of 5 on the Franny Pack scale. It genuinely was an incredible weekend with some incredible people. You know, it's hard to put it all into words, really. I'm just excited as hell for next year when they come back, because I definitely would recommend going, and I definitely would do this again. It was just an incredible weekend round and round.
Well, I'm so looking for, like, we've already basically called it. Like, we always, Franny and I, we always want to do at least one Metal Fest. And now I would say we've got a pretty strong blood pact with Might House to also join us. And I think we're also going to likely see our good buddy Matt the Rat and TSE at all these festivals. But we're going to be back, baby. We're going to be back at this festival next year. And I hope that you all can make it. It's 100% worth your investment, 100% fun. Thank you to Jamie Josta. My goodness, what a bear this must have been to organize this. But you boys pulled it off. And you know what, Franny? Who knows how the show's going to grow in the meantime? I think they've been sharing all sorts of updates from the show, and we were lucky to be one of them. Like, we got a collab in the future. Maybe next year we will, but in the meantime, we're a little bit, more battle tested and ready for next year's edition.
Oh yeah, yeah, we're gonna take the lessons of this year's trip and apply it to next year's trip. We will probably forget all about the gas station food once again. But yeah, it was. A lot to learn from to prepare ourselves for the next festival, whether it be Milwaukee Metal Fest or a different one, for sure.
I mean, the tricky thing is, like, Quick Trip is like the sirens calling your ship to the rocks. I mean, like, it sounds, you pick up those smells and they may be horrible and laced with chemicals, but like, it's your opioid receptors are going off. And again, Hanna-Barbera cartoon just boink, 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 and you're like on your tippy toes drifting your way over towards it. So yep. Franny, it's been a fun ass first season. Later this summer, you and I are going to be going to the Mad with Power Festival, which is all about pinball and power metal. We've got Lords of the Trident, High Spirit, Seven Kingdoms, and Unleash the Archer. So when we return, you know, mark your calendars. It is written in stone. It is foretold for a mid to late August return, season 2. Franny, Mad with Power Festival. I think we're fucking locked and loaded after Milwaukee.
Oh, man. Oh, yeah. I'm so fucking jacked, especially for a couple of these bands that I've been really frothing at the mouth to see. And not only that, but all the fucking pinball, baby. All the pinball. Ugh.
You know, a little bit of just self-jerking off here now. Just shout out to all our hardcore Droomies, man. We love you. Shout out to all the people that are now writ themselves in lore, whether it's East of Edina, Matt the Rat, TSC, Might House, Telekinetic Overdrive. You boys got it. We want to hear from you again the next time you play a show. All of Australia. Fucking Richmond, Virginia. I mean, the list. New Mexico. Franny, the list goes on and on.
Oh, yeah.
I just want to call it out before I pass the torch to you to close out season one. Don't forget about this fucking cliffhanger of a season one finale. Head over to our fucking socials. You're going to want to see Franny as he is just delighted, floating on cloud nine to fist bump Alex Jones. You're a fucking legend.
Oh, man. It was so fun. I literally could... Just wild experience, man. I can't believe I got that on tape. Like,
who crowd surfs and films it? Like, you're this is how I know you're a generation before me, because you're fucking filming yourself crowd surf. I'm like, this boy, admittedly, this boy's got it. For Franny, you got it.
Oh, man. Well, once again, Droomies, it's been an incredible first season, as Wrecker alluded to. I just want to thank everybody that's made this show possible. To all of our super fans, Craigo for all the way down in Australia, everybody in Canada, Germany, Brazil, Mexico, Australia, you guys are all killing it. Chicago, Richmond, Frankfurt, all the way over in Germany, Ashburn, Brookings. You know, you guys have been really helping the show grow, and we really appreciate you. And not only that, but thank you to our significant others, because they're putting up with this shit, taking time out of our weekends to record the show. So that means a lot to both of us too. And make sure you keep an eye on the socials. We're going to be constantly posting stuff up there, both the Instagram and the Twitter. If you got any questions or just kind of want updates, you can always write us in at our Gmail, druidsdoompodcast@gmail.com. And make sure you come back for season two, when we talk about all sorts of insane shit, kicking off with the Mad with Power Festival. With that being said, make sure you stick around for the next episode of Druids of Doom.